are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, December the 13th. 1 month from my birthday, by the way, but I carumba in Mexico on Thursday night. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA. For the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. I know it's going to be the number one topic of discussion for all your family and holiday and office parties, all that stuff you got coming up here in these next few weeks. Locked On Pistons podcast, the number one thing to start a conversation in those settings, believe you me. But today we're going to run down the details from Thursday night. The Pistons went to Mexico and want to forget about it, like I'm sure many of us have also done in the past. Three biggest takeaways from this loss, and we're also going to look ahead to Saturday night as the Pistons will be in Houston to take on the hopefully tired Houston Rockets in the Lone Star State. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore. After that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the Pistons lose in Mexico City to the Dallas Mavericks on Thursday night. That's 122-111. That's the final score. A game that doesn't feel nearly that close. It was just kind of a blowout. And really, if you looked at the scores, like, man, it's only a 15-point game. If they have a nice couple minutes here, get it down to 9 points early in the fourth quarter, make a little run here. You know, Derrick Rose brings him back into the third, makes it kind of interesting for a little while, but never really felt in doubt really at all. Pistons went on a 9-2 run to open the game, had one of their best 2 or 3 minute starts to the season, but didn't last long. Obviously, they fall to 10-15 on the season, basically tied for ninth place with the Charlotte Hornets, although I believe Charlotte's got them by percentage points. But like I said, for all intents and purposes, tied for ninth place in the East with Charlotte, 1.5 games behind Orlando, so closing the gap somehow on the Magic, although I'm hearing Vucevic should be coming back to their lineup soon, so the idea that you can just kind of play this kind of level of basketball and be anywhere near the playoffs, even in the Eastern Conference, is going to be a fallacy sooner rather than later. By the way, the point differential with an 11-point loss for the season is now a negative. The Pistons have been outscored by just 3 points this season, by far the closest margin to zero in the league. We'll be fun to check on that every now and then. And we know that if you got basically a neutral point differential, you're basically a 500 team. I say that in jest because that's not actually true. If you're 5 games under, you're 5 games under. But the Pistons were winners of 4 out of 5 coming in. And now, as we've talked about, in real danger of going on a similar streak on the downside, something like losing 4 out of 5, if you look at the upcoming schedule, is a possibility with Houston on Saturday. More on them later, obviously. But Monday at home against the Washington Wizards is the game that stands out as the must-win of this stretch before Wednesday at home against the Toronto Raptors and then at Boston next Friday. So it does not get any easier from here. But Andre Drummond, who had an interesting day, Avocado Gate. We found out why he was wearing sunglasses and all the NBA Cares stuff on Wednesday in Mexico. Turns out he had eye inflammation from an allergic reaction to apparently some guacamole. So avocados, I guess, and I'm assuming it was guacamole or whatever it was. He said after the game that they asked the waiters if there was any avocados in anything, and they said no, and it turns out maybe possibly there was. So he was questionable as of the afternoon, but he still played and still played well. Especially, certainly in the first half. He was really the only Piston that you could say played well. Derrick Rose, like I said, he was okay. But even though Andre Drummond really kind of disappeared in the second half, he finished with 23-15 after having a dynamite 20-7 in the first half. And Rose, like I said, really good stretch at the end of the third quarter. 19 points and 4 assists for him. He made 5 three-pointers. What the hell? He was 5 of 10 from 3 there. Markieff Morris had 16 points. He filled it up as well. 12 for Tony Snell, 10 apiece for Christian Wood and Blake Griffin. More on him later. Luka Doncic, don't know if you've heard, but that guy might be pretty good. 41 points, 12 rebounds, and 11 assists for the second-year Slovenian MVP candidate, although, you know, it's still Giannis is to lose at this point. But all the buzz in the world for Luka Doncic, who, man, and I said it going into last year's draft, I'm not the only one. I think that most of us were saying, how can a team in the Phoenix Suns that just hired the Slovenian national coach not take Luka Doncic? How can a team in Sacramento, who has one of the most accomplished players from that part of the country, talking about Eastern Europe, and Vlade Divac running the team, not draft Luka Doncic, who's clearly the best player in this draft? 18 years old, dominating the top leagues, EuroLeague MVPs, or not MVP, but playing well in EuroLeague at 18 years old. And they skip over him, and he's the player that not even any of us who knew he would be pretty good, he's surpassing everyone's expectations and unbelievable. Unbelievably believable, I guess is the way to put it. But 30 points for Seth Curry off the bench. Speaking of guys that sting a little bit for Pistons fans, with one of our targets that we wanted, he was a little bit priced out of the Pistons range. But Derrick Rose was a nice consolation prize, I guess. But 20 points and 8 rebounds for Kristaps Porzingis. 91 points from three guys for the Dallas Mavericks, the only ones in double figures. You drop 122 and only have three guys in double figures. Obviously, those three guys were doing work, and that was the case on Thursday night in Mexico City. But up next, I'm going to give you my three takeaways from this one that's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we will talk about the Houston Rockets and check in on the Pistons, see if they have any chance of going down and beating a good team on the road. But let's do the three takeaways from this game. You know, most of the time I go above and beyond for you guys, and we did it again today with an honorable mention of a big takeaway, and that's just to complain about Twitter a little bit here. A lot of tweets tonight about bitching that this was our home game. It happens all the time in sports, right? The neutral site game, it's unfortunate. It's not awesome, but they're trying to grow the game, playing some games internationally. Every sport's doing it. The teams lose the home game all the time, and usually it's the small market teams. It's the ones that struggle to fill up their seats. The Pistons are going to get compensated by the NBA because of this. Obviously, the home court advantage doesn't come back, and you don't get that back. And that's unfortunate, no doubt about it. But in an 82-game season, you're going to play one neutral site game and go down to Mexico and experience all those things. It's good for the team. Obviously, it doesn't help the fans watching at home. It doesn't help people who want to see Luka Doncic play in person, as he still has not played at Little Caesars Arena. But geez, man, I mean, we've been seeing this in sports for years and years. The NFL does it. The Lions went over to Europe, and the Chiefs had to give up a home game for that one, I remember. But it just happens. So let's stop complaining about that. The third biggest takeaway was, wow, a couple of ugly stats for the Pistons here. Stats here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But the three-point shooting and the rebounding, obviously, are the two things that stood out in this one. Pistons were out-rebounded 52-34. Incongruous, certainly, when you consider the fact that Andre Drummond is the best rebounder in the league. And I believe that. I'm not saying that derisively about him. He is. And the Pistons are not getting it done on the glass, especially on Thursday night. Drummond pulls down 15. He does his part. Christian Wood even had 8 rebounds in 14 minutes. So what gives when you get 23 rebounds from your two guys, main guys in the middle? Well, Blake Griffin has 3 rebounds. Bruce Brown, normally a very good rebounder for a guard, 2 rebounds. Markieff Morris, your other big man who doesn't grab rebounds at all, he had 3 of them. And then your backcourt didn't get it done at all. Langston Galloway, Sofia Mikhailiuk, 1 apiece, 1 for Tony Snell, 0 for Luke Kennard, 0 for Derrick Rose, 0 for Tim Frazier and Thon Maker in 2 minutes of action at the very end of the game. So what gives? I think this is kind of the blessing and the curse of Andre Drummond, and this is not me blaming Andre Drummond, but I feel like the guards don't do a good enough job of rebounding because you kind of rely too much on Andre Drummond. And I just think that a lot of times you just get unlucky a lot in today's NBA with all the three-point shots. Obviously, missed three-pointers are long rebounds, so that's going to make it tougher and near impossible at times for Andre Drummond to grab those. So you just have to have more of an emphasis on it. I think that and it's going to be just one of those times. It's bounces, you know, it's situations where no NBA team gives enough effort on rebounding because that's just how 48 minutes of NBA basketball works. We know that. But that being said, I think that when you have a hobbled Blake Griffin and a non-rebounding Markieff Morris, you're becoming to be problematic when you have guys like Andre Drummond and Christian Wood that are forced to take care of all the glass. And that's an issue for this team and something that needs to be addressed going forward. And if you got a defensive rebound, if you're not going to be a team that gets out and runs, there's no excuse for not grabbing defensive rebounds. And it's something you got, it's part of defense, right? You got to finish the possession. You got to grab the defensive rebound before you get out there and transition over to offense. So something that the Pistons obviously need to work on. And one of the final stats don't really tell the story on this one, because the Pistons finished 15 of 42 with some good second half shooting from 3-point land. That's 35.7% from three. You'll take that every day, not every day, but a lot of days. But the first half 3-point shooting, 5 of 21, felt like it took this team a long time to get used to the arena. We know that this isn't the typical NBA setup for arenas that they had down in Mexico City, a lot like the FIBA game, a lot like the international game, and a lot like when you throw, David on Twitter pointed this out, but a lot like when you throw the college basketball teams that are used to playing in 15,000-seat gyms, throw them into these huge domes in the Final Four. We've seen all these ugly Final Four games that are super competitive, but nobody can make a shot. It felt like that, and especially early for the Pistons, and they never really adjusted, never really made it happen. And, yeah, it was rough. And so the Pistons fell behind there at halftime and then into the third quarter, and it turned into a situation. And obviously the biggest situation being Luka Doncic, 14 of 24, 6 of 13 from 3 for him. Just a great player, someone who's going to be fun to watch for many years. And good for the NBA, but not good for the Pistons on Thursday night. Indeed, the second most important takeaway, I'm going to start before I single out this gentleman by singling out a couple other players. First of all, I thought Luke Kennard played one of his worst games of the year. He had 8 points in 34 minutes and 4 assists. I thought Bruce Brown played poorly offensively for sure, although he did finish with 7 points and 4 assists in 22 minutes. So the numbers weren't real bad, but he was just getting gangsta swatted at the rim a couple times, really not finishing at the rim like he needs to. It's a little better than last year, but that's something that Bruce Brown needs to work on as his game continues to evolve. Svi Mykhailiuk was non-existent, and Langston Galloway played one of his worst games of the season, 2 points. I don't believe that his double-digit point streak was still going and that this was the one that snapped it, but yeah, 2 points for him, 0-3 for shooting. Played 20 minutes, but you could have fooled me. He was a non-factor in this one, and like I said, you know how the movie Swingers, Jon Favreau meets Heather Graham at the bar, and they had the really uncomfortable scene where, you know, wait 3 days to call her, like Vince Vaughn says, and he calls her right away, and it turns into that kind of disaster. Is it weird if Ed Stefanski picks up the phone on Sunday at midnight and calls December 15th and says Langston Galloway is available? What you got? Or like I said, my proposal from the other day, which you should listen to, the blueprint of the Pistons trade season, which, like I said, unofficially opens on December 15th as players who have just joined their teams this past offseason are now eligible to be traded. I like this trade where you got Langston Galloway and Derrick Rose packaged to the Philadelphia 76ers for a trade package headlined by Zaire Smith, who's been a very underwhelming and underachieving second-year player who missed most of last year because of an injury, but the kind of buy-low guy that might be a difference maker for the Pistons down the road in a team that I feel like should be thinking about a rebuild. You would recoup some other assets in that deal, including possibly Oklahoma City's first-round pick this year, which will not be conveyed because it's top 20 protected, but could matriculate into a couple of second-round picks. And then, of course, you need to match the salaries. So a guy like Mike Scott, and then maybe some end-of-the-roster type of flyers on some second-round pick types and stuff like that. That's my brilliant idea for Ed Stefanski. A Philadelphia guy can call up his old, probably favorite team growing up and ask the 76ers, help out their bench, help out their three-point shooting, and help out the Pistons' future. That's my ideas. What do you guys think about that? But the most important of the second takeaway we're still on, we haven't really gotten to it, but it's Blake Griffin, and he played poorly, looked even worse, frustrating from his end because he just kept shooting three-pointers, couldn't knock him down, 1 of 10 from 3, a little hesitant at times, but had the good move early on, went baseline with the and one. I think that was an and one, but he had kind of a soft dunk there on a nice move down the baseline. 3 of 16 from the field, 5 assists, 10 points. That's not going to get it done. And obviously, one of those games where, like, right when Blake started his season, he kind of looked like this and it looked a little better. But he's going to look like this at times. And, man, I tell you, I know that I might sound like a lunatic about this, but last year I thought Dwayne Casey should have been doing some load management with Blake Griffin. We talked about it on this show over and over again. It didn't happen, and we saw how his body broke down. This year, they held him out for 12 games when you were hearing rumors or whispers that, yeah, maybe they're just being extra cautious. And then you held him out for a game or two, even after he came back on some back-to-backs. And I was like, so now we're going to be, like, overly cautious on load management? And now you see a night like Thursday, where he looks like he's really not in good shape. You got to fly him all the way down to to Mexico City, even worse, and have him down there for a couple days. I've always wondered about this. This is maybe the next frontier of the load management phenomenon. If guys are going to be skipping certain games because of load management, then why are they going through the rigors of travel? That's just kind of an aside to this Blake Griffin thing. But my point being this, and I promise I'll get to a point, the Pistons need to start thinking about sitting Blake Griffin down a little bit, even on not the second half of back-to-backs. He played the back-to-back last week against Milwaukee, against a tough Milwaukee team that you weren't going to beat anyways. I question the back-and-forth status of what this coaching staff is doing with load management. It feels like when they should be doing load management, they aren't. And when they do it too much, they shouldn't be. You know, maybe I'm just being an annoying Monday morning quarterback about this thing, but it just feels like they're handling load management like wrong in every situation in terms of the overall arcing themes of what they should be doing. But the most important thing from this game, and my biggest takeaway, number one, is this Pistons team has got to beat a good team at some point. You know, it's going to happen, but they've got to knock off some good teams. They're going to have chances coming up, Houston and then Toronto and then Boston next week. But the Pistons are now 0-6 against good teams. That's a loss to Philly, a loss to Toronto, two losses to Milwaukee, and then Miami and Dallas. So 0-6 there. Haven't really been super competitive in like any of these games. The Philly game without Joel Embiid, we're in that one, but that wasn't a very good game for the Pistons either. Not good right now. And the 4-7 mark against bad teams right now is the biggest problem. But to counteract that biggest problem, you got to start knocking off some good teams. And, man, I'm watching this Dallas game, and if they hit some more threes, we're probably singing a different tune. Maybe it is a close game, but there was a feeling of hopelessness at times watching this poor defense in the second and third quarters, thinking, you know, not only are we not going to win this game against the Mavericks, but are we ever going to beat a good team? Do we got a chance against a team like Houston on Saturday, which is a great segue. So that's what we're going to talk about next. But if you are a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcast for the year. Take a screenshot of that bad boy and tag us at Locked On Live or my Twitter account, Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that, or the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Tag us on that on Twitter and we will share and retweet and you will become hugely famous in the world of the internets. But up next, Houston Rockets. What to expect when you're expecting playing the Houston Rockets on Saturday night. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, let's be positive. A little bit of a schedule break for the Pistons here on Saturday night. The Rockets played on Wednesday in Cleveland and play tonight in, relatively good health against Orlando on the road. So hopefully Houston beats Orlando, which is a good thing for the Pistons, obviously, and then comes home to play the Pistons at 9 o'clock on Saturday Eastern time, the third game in four nights for them, and a back-to-back. So hooray. Good times for the Pistons scheduling-wise going into Saturday, an actual rest advantage. Nice to have for the Pistons. Houston is 16-8 on the season. James Harden is going freaking crazy this year. He had 55 freaking points on Wednesday, an unreal performance, a comeback win against Cleveland. James Harden, think about it off the top of your head right now. How many points per game do you think James Harden is scoring right now this season? I'll give you a second to think of your guess. We'll do a little Jeopardy music. Think of your guess, because I'm telling you, it's probably more than what your guess is. James Harden, right now, this season, a quarter of the way through, a little bit more than a quarter of the way through, is averaging 38.7 points per game. Holy crap. James Harden is getting it done this year, leading the NBA in scoring by nearly 8 full points over Giannis Antetokounmpo. Harden has 4 games of 50-plus points this year already. He dropped a 50-burger, a 55, Michael Jordan special, the 59, 50-nina, and then a 60. Dropped a 60-bomb already this year. Yet, I'm still on that long list of people who hate watching him play. I understand his brilliance, but no joy in watching the Rockets try to game the system, get to the line, etc. Not a fan. But a guy I am a fan of is Ben McLemore, a guy I kind of liked coming out of Kansas. I'll cop to that. He scored 28 the other day. The word is they're looking to acquire vets, and maybe this could be a Langston Galloway situation here, a little bit of a Langston showcase game. Daryl Morey just loves trading his first-round picks, so those are pretty much all gone. But they have a pick swap where they get the least favorable in 2021 of first-round picks between them, Oklahoma City, and Miami. So it's like as unvaluable as a first-round pick can be, so maybe that could be something that they consider parting with. I wonder if you could maybe give them Galloway for that and take on some dead bad money. They got guys like Nene and Gerald Green on the roster that aren't playing right now that you could maybe pick up and take on your bad expiring money for a useful player in Langston Galloway and take a bad first-round pick off of them. Sounds like a lot to ask as far as getting that first-round pick, but Daryl Morey doesn't care. He probably won't be there too long, so he don't care. But my feelings on Russell Westbrook, they're well-documented. I think he makes teams worse. For the most part, he's shooting 23% from three this year and shooting 5 of them a game. So how's that trade going? Obviously, still winning some games in Houston because they got James Harden and some talent around the roster. But Russell Westbrook, man, that team ain't going nowhere. You heard it here first. Injuries notwithstanding, I don't see how this team makes a deep run in the Western Conference. Certainly not an NBA Finals team. And like I said, Ben McLemore, that's my guy. I got a little bit of Missouri bias. I used to live in Springfield, Missouri, so he's a St. Louis guy. So him and Bradley Beal, Otto Porter from Sykeston, he's my guy too. Guys I kind of root for because I covered them in high school, know the scene a little bit in the Show Me State. But my guess for the line, obviously Houston's got to play tonight, so there's no line posted yet. Something like Houston by 8 at home, factoring in the back-to-back for Houston, a little bit lighter than it might be. Otherwise, could go down to 7.5 or 7, but I'm a little bit of an amateur handicapper. But Eric Gordon had knee surgery recently. He's not playing for a couple weeks. Austin Rivers has been sick, should play, but who knows on the second half of back-to-back. Same for Tyson Chandler as well. So might not see some of the veterans that you're used to seeing. Certainly won't see Eric Gordon on Saturday night as well. But that'll do it for the Locked On Pistons podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed the content this week. Looking forward to staying with you guys the rest of the season despite the listlessness of the Pistons. But this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening. Spread the word. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday, looking back on Saturday's game and looking ahead to Monday's game against the Washington Wizards back here in Detroit. Have a great weekend, everyone.